Well, the situation of South Sudan has been a concern to many for a long time, and to us as well, and we continue to be concerned about the rate of arbitrary detentions of critics of the government. We are concerned about failure to ensure justice is done, accountability against those who committed human rights violations and crimes under international law during the conflict. And we are concerned about the fact that violations still continue despite multiple assurances and commitment to end these violations. Another thing that we are really worried about and concerned about going forward is that South Sudan's use of the death penalty is skyrocketing. As we speak, they've already executed 7 people in this year alone. And that shows that really the situation is getting worse rather than improving. So we are calling on the South Sudan government to address the human rights situation and ensure that it doesn't continue to slide into the abyss of human rights violations.
When were these people executed?
We have information, and it documented this, that they executed 7 people in February, 3 of whom were members of the same family. And this is not the only case. This number is higher than that, the whole number of people who were executed last year. So by the end of the year, if this trend continues, we're likely to see a huge spike in the rate of use of the death penalty, with the number of people executed increasing remarkably. So they were executed in February. But the larger question is, see, what we really voiced at the Human Rights Council is to do with the continued detention of many people arrested and detained by the National Security Service, and arbitrarily they haven't been brought in front of a competent court. And we're calling for arbitrary detentions to end forthwith. They are not allowed under international law, let alone Sudanese law itself.
Of course, based on just what you have said, the authorities in Juba have been accused of arbitrary arrest, detention, torture, and ill treatment of hundreds of people to death since December 2013. Can you explain to us how many people are still in detention and what do you want to be done?
Well, we don't have the exact number, but we know for sure that many government critics are languishing in jail, many of them in NSS detention facilities, including Kelbino Wall, you have Peter Biar, and many others who have been detained. We know, for instance, the case of Dong and Agri, who were picked up in Nairobi and disappeared into South Sudan. The last place they were seen was at Blue House, and it's been 2 years since they were taken and since they were seen. And we've been calling on South Sudan government to disclose their whereabouts and tell us where they are and own up to holding them arbitrarily. And we are met with utter silence, and that is not something that is encouraging for anyone. So the cases are many. Only the South Sudan government knows how many people they have picked up and detained without charge, and that is something that they need to address and make sure it doesn't happen going forward.
Concerns have been raised about the actions of the National Security. What are you particularly concerned about?
We are concerned that under the NSS law, the National Security Service has a lot of powers. It is, powers are so broad, and they, besides doing the job of intelligence gathering, and they have policing authority, they arrest people, they detain them. This is not in line with South Sudan's constitution, and neither is it in line with international law generally. So what we would be really calling for as a solution is for South Sudan, the National Security Service's powers to be brought in line with what the constitution says and to be reduced in breadth so that they are not an all-powerful organization that picks up people, holds them without charge and keeps them without being accountable to anyone. That is what we are saying pretty much. That's for sure. They should follow their constitution and ensure that everything they do is in line with the good laws that we have put in place, and that everything, that all actions undertaken are in conformity with international law. There are things we recommend on every aspect that we talk about. People who have been detained without charge need to be released, and if there is any offense that they've committed that is recognizable under international law, they should be brought to a judge in a competent court to hear their case. They should be given a day in court. On matters of the death penalty, we are calling and really appealing to the President of South Sudan to stop signing execution orders so that no more people are executed in South Sudan, and to impose a moratorium on the death penalty with a view to ultimately abolishing it, just like many other countries in the world have done. South Sudan should not continue on this journey that has been abandoned by everyone who is on the right side of history. Shouldn't restrict itself to the wrong side of history and follow countries that continue to use this very ultimate cruel and inhuman punishment that has been abandoned by most of the world. Yeah, so there are many recommendations, but I think the bottom line is that a government that wants to stand up among a community of nations that respect human rights, everything that is undertaken in its name, in the name of the South Sudan government, must be in conformity with the law. And that is where we start to address the problem. One last thing is to basically ensure that there is accountability for crimes committed during the war. South Sudan, in principle, agreed with the African Union to set up the hybrid court to prosecute crimes committed during the conflict that began in 2013. And up to this day, there is a lot of food dragging and there is no court. And victims continue to wait for justice in vain. So there are multiple things that need to be done. And ultimately, it's within the powers of the South Sudan government to take measures to ensure that justice is done for crimes committed and that no further crimes are committed in its name, and make sure that South Sudan fully respects its commitments under international law.
Finally, some people may say that Amnesty International, just like any other human rights group, is good at criticism. It has been 6 months since the agreement was signed. Is there anything positive you can say about the past 6 months?
It's good that the peace agreement was signed, and it's on the countries on track possibly to ending the conflict that started a long time ago. We look forward to a resolution of the conflict, but any measures that are undertaken must be in respect to human rights and to in conformity with human rights standards. So there's certainly good, in some cases, good progress. There's progress on the peace front, but we're concerned about the excesses being committed by the authorities in Juba. And really there is need. The two things are not mutually exclusive. You can't say that peace and justice cannot coexist. We need to have a just society, a peaceful society. So it's not just that we criticize. We see what is going well, but we also must continue to point out the things that are going wrong and to suggest actionable recommendations to resolve those issues. And that's where Amnesty comes in. And we, for everything we say that is going wrong, we've suggested recommendations, many recommendations on how they could be fixed.